so that we can pray for them. Just last night in our home county, there was, and I don't even know that they got the fire out yet, but it was a brush fire, and on the backside of Ritchie County, they sent pictures, and it's devastated. They were calling departments to come from all over the areas to help put out a brush fire. So we need rain in our area and throughout our region. So, you know, be mindful to pray for rain. Amen. You guys, you know, we have the power to stop storms, right? So we have the power to pray over hurricanes and storms like that. So let's pray for rain. Amen. So we need rain. We don't need a torrential downpour, but we need rain. So to be mindful to pray for that as well. So, but great to be in the house of the Lord. And we come out of this past Sunday with Evangelist Nate. It was good meetings, and thankful for this house, and always in your giving and supporting guest speakers. God is good, and thankful for this house that's a giving house. With that being said, I'll go ahead and just take up the tithe and offering. If you need a slip, just raise your hand. One of our guys will get it to you. I'm going to keep moving forward, and we're going to pray over that. Three ways that you can give. You can make checks payable to KC. Text to give 77977. You can give by credit or debit. Amen. So, amen. Hey, it's time to give. You guys ready to give? Amen. Amen. Let's go ahead and pray over the offering tonight. Father, we thank you, Lord. Lord, I thank you for the revelation, Lord, of your word, Father. And Lord, I pray that, Lord, even tonight as we study your word, I thank you in advance already that, God, that you grant us revelation, you grant us the knowledge of your word. And Father, I thank you for Lord, everything that you show us through your word, even through giving, and Father, even returning our tithe, what that means, and Father, what it means to give in an offering, Father. And so, Lord, I thank you for that. Lord, I thank you for this church and this house. Let's go ahead and just lift our voice tonight and pray for our property. Let's pray for Project Freedom, and let's pray for our church building. Let's go ahead and just lift our voice tonight over that as well. Father, we thank you as we come together in agreement tonight that, Father, we know that you want to advance the kingdom of God throughout West Virginia. So, Lord, we pray for this property. Lord, supernaturally, Father, the things that you've already done and things that you will continue to do. And, Father, we call in the resources, Father, for a building to be started there next year, Father. That, you know, Lord, we come together in agreement, Father, that, Lord, that we, God, you've purposed us to start. And so, Father, and you purpose us to go. So, Father, I pray that, Lord, as we unite in one vision, I thank you, Father, for this building. And I thank you, Lord, for this location that you've given us. And Father, we thank you, Lord, even tonight, Lord, just everything that you're doing in our midst. Father, we pray over this offering tonight. Lord, bless it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. I don't know if anybody was up late last night till 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. Anybody in the house? Up late, 3, 4? Yeah, I was up till, I think I finally went to bed at 4:30. So when that prayer call went off at 6 o'clock, I was like, oh boy, you know, that was, so got up and prayed, praise God. I did doze back off for a little bit, praise God. So, you know, the election stuff was definitely fun to watch last night. You know, there's power in prayer. I never want, you know, us as a people, as a church, to take that for granted. There's absolute power in prayer. Amen. And you know, and we're praying for this nation. You know, Jesus is King. You know, like I said, please understand something, that, you know, Jesus is our Lord. You know, even as I think about it, and as time draws even nearer, I think about the return of Jesus Christ, amen, and how amazing that's going to be. And you know, but I believe that the church is called to advance in this hour. I felt that some year and a half, 2 years ago, and I think we're right in the place right now where God is going to continue to move the church forward, and he's going to continue to move a people forward, and that's us here tonight. Amen. Everybody, you agree with that? You agree that God's going to advance us as the church? He's going to move us forward. I believe that 100%. And, you know, Doctor, that's what even his conversation today, it's an amazing thing to, you know, he just, out of his mouth comes vision. You know, what are we doing with this? What are we doing with that? How are we getting things launched over there? How are you becoming a hub? Pastor Brad, how are you becoming a hub? And then he goes on to tell me everything he's doing in Dallas. It's like, you know, he's been there for a year and a half. He's like, well, we've got an extension in Houston. We've got an extension in, I think, San Antonio. You know, there's 40 here. There's 50 here. We've got Russian congregations. We've got Marshallese congregations. You know, so he's sitting there. He said, you need to become a hub. Come on now. Let's get with it. I said, well, we got two keys. He said, you got two keys? He said, that's awesome. Start a congregation. So praise God. We're going to be praying over that and believe in the Lord that the Lord's going to move there as well. Praise God. Amen. Just a little bit of an update. I always like to share those wonderful things with you all. Let's take our Bibles. We're still in the book of Ephesians. We'll be here for a little bit of time through Wednesday nights, and we're gonna hang here a little bit. But if you have your Bibles, I'm gonna go into Ephesians 1 tonight. I'm gonna finish this up, and I attempted to last week and run out a little bit of time, and I'm gonna flow right into Ephesians 2. I'm gonna start in Ephesians 1, and we're just gonna flow right into Ephesians 2. It's not like Paul in his writings was saying, you know, okay, chapter 1 is this, chapter 2 is that. You know, the Bible, you know, you can go right into chapter 2 and you can see the continuation of the Word of God and what Paul's saying. There's a break for our understanding, but I'm going to read it. I'm going to flow right into chapter 2 tonight. Let's pick up at, let's just pick up at verse 15. And I did cover this last week. I went into detail around this, but let's just pick up at verse 15 in Ephesians 1. It says, therefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, did not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you to the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Verse 18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, which are the riches of his glory, of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the work of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him in the right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is the body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Let's go to, just flip it over to chapter 2. And then in verse 1, he says, and you he made alive, who were dead in trespass and sin, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit of who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as others. But God, I love that. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespass, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the age to come he might show you exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Father, I thank you tonight for your word, and I thank you for the revelation of Ephesians. And Father, even as Paul prays for spiritual wisdom for the church, Father, I pray, Lord, even tonight, let there be wisdom, Father, released tonight in this house. Father, we call that down, Father, above all else, that we understand your word. We understand. We're able to see your word in spirit and in truth, Father. And so, Lord, we thank you. Lord, give us eyes to see, give us ears to hear, and give us a heart to receive in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. Praise God. There's a lot here, I want to just jump into this and break this down. And I kind of been just going somewhat verse through verse. I did share with you guys, in verse 15, Paul said, I've heard of your faith. And he heard about their faith. And that's the one thing that, not to jump back in this from last week, but it's the one thing that excites me as a pastor, Pastor Miranda as well, is that we hear of your faith. We hear of the things that God's not only probably stretched you in, but the things that you're willing to do for the sake of Jesus Christ. That there's nothing more exciting than having people move in the areas of faith in their life to believe God. Can I tell you that's what it takes? It takes a belief in God that, the things that may not seem possible in the natural, But God, amen, everybody say but God, because you're going to hear that more than once tonight. But God, through him, through faith, these things are possible. You unlock things, and God grants you wisdom. And so you know, he's excited about their faith. And so just as he is excited about their faith, I'm excited about the faith of the people in this house, encouraged always by the great testimony. I was on the phone with Pastor Aaron from California. He sends his love also. He said, tell the people of West Virginia I love them. Well, he said, when are you going to have me back? That was the next thing he said. And so he said, I got a meeting this weekend. You need to fly here. You need to get here and come and be in this meeting. He said, we've got 500 people registered for conference. And he said, I got a seat on the front row for you. You need to come. And so anyway, I don't know, unless I can talk my wife into flying to California for a day, two maybe. I don't know. Maybe, I don't know. We'll see what happens. Praise God. We don't have kids at home now. You know, we can just go, right? Amen. Sure. Amen. So praise God. But Paul's saying, I heard about your faith. Let's just keep moving. I don't want to get stuck here because I can easily get stuck in any point of this scripture. Let's just pick up at verse, let's pick up at just verse 15. It says, that he may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of your understanding may be opened. So I just want to focus on this. Let me back up here. Yeah. I thought a lot about this today, because the reason I felt to come back around this is because everything that we lack, everything that we lack in God, there's an area of revelation and knowledge. Okay, so then if we lack something else, there's the recipe of faith. You have to mix faith with the knowledge and understanding of God, and you know, it's God is spirit. So I want you to understand John 4:24. It says God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So God is spirit. How does God communicate with us? How does God communicate with his children? He communicates by spirit. So you understand, you're made up of three parts. Everybody, just a little quick lesson. You have a spirit. When you're born again, the spirit becomes alive. Amen. You guys with me so far? So understand, your spirit is now alive in Christ. That's what he said. You're alive. So that's Ephesians 2. We'll get there. But you become alive in him. So that's exactly what's taking place. You're now alive. But your spirit, it's born again. Now, what you're doing is you're beginning to be in this process of man, it's really crazy how this works, but your mind now has to begin to be renewed to the things of God. Does it come when you're born again? Does it become natural that you know everything about everything that's in the Bible? No. You have to begin the process of renewing your mind. So it's like, I'm born again, I'm saved, amen, praise God. I have the revelation of salvation. I accepted him, I confessed him as my Lord and Savior. But God, there's so much more now. Now it's that the mysteries, the will of God. We talked about this earlier in Ephesians 1, but that now that the mysteries and the will of God is now made known to man. Now the reason we don't possess all the answers, I truly believe this, is because we don't have the full knowledge, or we don't have the full revelation of what God is wanting us to have. I don't blame God. First and foremost, you guys trekking with me. So I don't blame God for something I don't understand or don't have revelation of. But I want you to understand tonight, it's there for you to possess. Because if you don't see that what God has now made available to you, you'll never possess it. Let's take your Bibles, go to Proverbs 21. Let me give you an example of this. Proverbs 21. See, I'm just going to be real practical. It's, you ever sit in church? Yeah, I have. It's like, yeah, I'm sitting in church. I'm sitting tonight, Pastor Brad. I'm sitting tonight. You ever sit in church and you hear something and it's like it hits you right there. It hits you in the spirit. I pray, that's what I pray tonight. I pray that something hits you in the spirit tonight. Some revelation, some knowledge of God, that it hits you in the spirit. That boom, it's like there's something in a word. There was something that was spoken. I pray that way every service. You know, open our heart to receive. Amen. That's why I pray the way I pray. Open, you know, doctor prays that way. You know, that my ears be open. That my hearing. Faith comes by hearing. So that my hearing, my ears actually be open to hear the word of God. You know. You know, can I tell you, this is what you've got to get rid of the distractions. You've got to, you know, honestly, when you come into church, it's like, you know, don't let your mind wander. You could control your mind. Yeah? You actually have the ability to stop thoughts coming into your mind. So, you know, people are like, oh, I can't, you know, I'm running. No. You have the ability to be able to do that. It's it's revelation that's given to you that you can. No, I bring every thought captive. The Bible says that I can do that. So I do that because the Word says that I can do that. So just let's look at Proverbs 21:20. It says, because see, this is an example of just the revelation of the Word. It says, there is precious treasure and oil in the house of the wise. This is how they amplified. There is precious treasure and oil in the house of the wise who prepare for the future, but a short-sighted and foolish man swallows up and he wastes it. So what it's saying, the scripture, what it's referring to is that it says that a man. How does that read in the NLT or King James? Yeah, a foolish man squanders everything that he has. So let me use this as an example of revelation. So if a foolish man spends everything that he has, he doesn't track, he doesn't have a budget, he doesn't think about putting money aside or savings, he just spends everything he has, what does the Bible say? It says that he's a foolish man. Now I'm not the reason I use this example was because this was me. I felt like the Lord quickened me and showed me this many years ago, that a fool spends everything that he has. So this is the reason why I use this example, because I wasn't good with money. I didn't manage money. I thought if I had money, money was meant to, you know, it was meant to be spent. But the Bible says that a fool spends everything he has. So watch this. See, there's what Paul's praying for in the church is that you gain the revelation. You gain the knowledge of the Word of God. You see something like this in the Word, and it's like, it leaps in you. You know, you ever had a word just leap in you? Like, no, this is real. This is real. Because how can I possess greater things if I spend everything that I have? You know, it was a story. I remember many years ago, Zane and I used to travel the road to Hana, and we'd spend 2 hours, and we went through this, I don't know, 60-part series of Pastor Gene Lingerfelt from, I think it's Austin, Texas. And I remember him saying that, you know, his one of his fathers in the faith was Dad Hagen, and he was Lester Summerall. I mean, he's been around some great men of God. But he said, you know, he said, I got revelation, he said, because he said, I tithe and I offered. I did all that. I did that for many, many years. He said, I did that, but I didn't have, I would give into offerings. And he said, I would sow seeds and plant seeds. But he said, somewhere along the line, something shifted in me, and I began to park money and I began to save money. He said, I started out at $20 a week. $20 a week. He said, I got revelation that, you know, just beginning, he said, and as I begin to do what the Word said, he said, then I was able to do more. So what Paul's praying for, this is just one example. So, you know, I happen to use this example because this was me. This was me many, many years ago. I didn't understand money, but I took it a step further. I went and I sought knowledge. I sought not, you know, I sought the wisdom of God because the Bible says this. So I'm gonna, you know, honey, we're gonna open a savings account. When I married Miranda, she had one. She helped pay off my debt the first few years. Praise God. Love you, honey. You know, she had money in the bank. I thought, man, she had her eyes on farmland. She's going to have this farm and a horse, and You know, I just had a Jeep. That's all I had. And she's got a dream and a vision, and I got a car payment, you know. And so, you know, and I'm not against car payments. You know, I'm not against things like this. But understand that the word, that you can gain the revelation of the word of God for you in a situation, that's what Paul's praying, that the revelation and the wisdom of God, that you pull it down. You can possess it. It's made available to you. You guys with me tonight? You all agree, right? That God wants to get things to you. He wants you to possess the land. Amen. So I would use healing as another example. Has anybody been healed in this house? So hands go up. People, somewhere along the line, you've got revelation that God is a healer. So I mean, does it mean that you'll have to contend another time for your healing? Maybe not. But you know that God is, you know that He is a healer. Because He's done it once, He can do it again. There's the revelation, there's the knowledge. You're able to pull that down. So Paul's praying, he's praying that. He's praying that. Verse 19. It says, "And what is the exceeding greatness of His power towards us who believe?" Guys, there's one thing right here that you underline. You've got to believe. You've got to believe. "And what is the exceeding greatness of His power towards those that believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at the right hand, at the right hand in the heavenly places." I want to say this: just because you're saved doesn't mean you walk in power. There's a revelation that you can possess and know that you can walk in power. The Bible says in Acts 1:8 that you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Now, if you don't, see, this is the element of faith. If you can know that the Word of God says that you have power, but then there's the revelation of possessing the power, walking the power out. It's like leading somebody to the Lord. You're minding your own business. God quickens you. The power of God becomes alive, leaps up inside of you, and you begin to minister or tell somebody about Jesus. That's His power, right? That's the power. That's the, you know, I always like to think that's the power of God exuding out of you. That's you know, that's that you would be my witness. Amen. There's power to be a witness. The same power, think about it, the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, it's available to you and it dwells on the inside of you. That's heavy, that's some heavy stuff. That's not like a little bit of power, that's like 220, grabbing a hold of it, you know, getting lit up. That's real power. That it would raise Christ from the dead, that same power. You can have the revelation and knowledge that the same power that raised Him from the dead, it lives in you and it dwells in you. The same power to overcome. It's the same power to understand God's grace. It's the same power. It's all of that. But just because you're saved, it doesn't mean that you walk in power. You need the revelation and knowledge to walk in. And there's power to overcome sin. Amen? You guys understand, there's power to overcome sin. You're not where you were. Anybody in the house? You're not the same person you were a year ago. You've elevated. You've grown. Amen. Pastor, I still got these thoughts. Kick revelation. Let me take it back. Because if you're struggling, you know, it's, see, everything has a name. Like depression has, it's a name, right? Sickness has a name. So, but there's the name that you've been given that we have to use it to win and to fight our battles. It's the revelation that we pull down and that we gain the understanding that, you know, listen, you're not in this alone. You're not called to battle. You're not called to fight alone. Amen. Ephesians 1. I am going to get through Ephesians 1. Praise God. What is the exceeding greatness of His power? You know, I love this because, you believe. In Romans 4, you know, and I love what Paul's bringing this back. He's bringing back to Father Abraham. He says this in Romans 4, verse 1. He says, "What then shall we say that Abraham our father has found according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he would have something to boast about." If it was about works, he would have something to boast about. But not before God. Not before God would he be able to boast if it was about works. For what does the Scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. So what did Abraham do? He believed God. Believe his promises. Believe that God wants to release revelation to you. Is anybody praying that way? Because I have truly been praying that way. I've been praying, God, give me greater wisdom. Give me greater revelation into your word. Lord, give me greater revelation and the keys to this city. Give me the understanding of how we can build a building, Father. These are prayer points that I have. Lord, grant to me the wisdom that I need from heaven to be able to keep growing as a Christian. You understand something. You can pray that way. You can pull these things down from heaven. Amen. The same power, it's available to you. I already said that. Oh, praise God. You know, how do we miss revelation, or how do we fall out of this stuff? I believe this is the honest truth. We as believers, we quit paying attention. And I'm talking to believers tonight that how do we fall out of the greater and the more revelation? We quit paying attention to God. We quit focusing on God, and our issues begin to be the issues of the world. Our problems get magnified because our eyes aren't fixed on the right thing. We think about what somebody said. We think about what somebody liked or disliked on my Facebook post. Or we I'm not saying that. I don't feel like anybody's like, you're all woohoo, Facebook, whatever. But you know, do you guys understand how easily people are moved? They're moved by what people think. We need to worry and be concerned about what God thinks. Because see, what happens is it caused the shifts in our life to be less focused on God. To have that revelation knowledge of who He is. Man, I love that I shared it a week or two ago, the revelation around the fence. I gained the knowledge of that. I gained the understanding that, you know what, I don't have to be. I don't have to live there. I'm not going to be hurt by people. You know, I choose. Can I tell you that a lot of this is that, you know, I knew it in my spirit. But then it's like you. What I said, you've got it. It's got to come from here to here. But then there's the knowing in the mind. Where does the enemy play around that? Pastor Miranda's been talking about this, right? Through spiritual strongholds. Where do strongholds begin? They begin in the mind. So we understand that. You know, and this is what Paul's saying, praying for, that your revelation, you may have revelation in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, that you shall know the power, the power that's inside of you. Isn't that cool? That he's praying that for his saints. I thought, as I prayed this prayer, and I was thinking about it the other day, I was like, I'm going to start praying this for our church, that we know the exceeding power, the great power that comes from heaven. Amen? That, you know, we're not easily moved. We're not easily persuaded. We're not easily taken off course. You know, that's a powerful prayer. Amen? God help me. Amen? That's a powerful prayer right there. Praise Jesus. Oh, my. So much here. Let's just drop down to verse 22. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. You know, Pastor Brent and I were talking about this passage today, and we're just running kind of through some of this. He's put all things under his feet. So where does Christ sit? He sits at the head. He's head. So, you know, and she gave it a good example today. It's like Dr. Morocco is the head of kings. So, you know, he's the headship. And under that headship, he's given authority to local extension pastors. And under that, he's given that to ministers. So, you know, to even understand headships, corporations, they work the same. There's a head. There's a CEO. You guys with me? He's at the head. And it says all things. What does all things mean? It means all things, right? It doesn't mean some things. It doesn't mean, well, you know, this one thing's not under him, you know. So all power, all authority has been given to him. That's, you with me tonight? Because you got to understand that the enemy, people have that thing on the, you know, I remember I was in Maryland, and I don't know if Brian was with me or my wife was with me. I pulled into Chick-fil-A, and it had a picture of the devil and Jesus on the back of this big lifted up Jeep with boxing gloves like they were fighting. I was like, that's the dumbest thing. Jesus is not fighting with the devil. The devil is defeated, nor should it be a picture of me fighting with the devil. He's defeated. This scripture right here, it's like if you catch this, there's just such revelation that you don't have to be antagonized. You don't have to be persuaded by the enemy's tricks and his schemes. Look right here in Ephesians 1. You can say that. Pray this. You know, he put all things under his feet. Comma. It's all things are under his feet, and he gave him to be head over all things to the church. Who's the church? Hey, isn't that's good news? You and I, we're the church. We are the church. You know, what is it? And I love in Ephesians, because in Ephesians 4:11, it says that he gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints and for the working of what ministry, the Bible says, for the edification of the building up for the body of Christ. So you have Christ. Then you have the church. We're the church. We are the church. Guess where the enemy's at? He's below. He's below all of this. Why? Because Christ defeated him. He's defeated. We know. Listen. Guys, listen. I know that we can sit and we can think, well, I've got this going on or I've got that going on. The things that we have to do is we got to possess the knowledge of Christ, the revelation that, you know, today I was praying, seeking the Lord over certain things and just asking the Lord, Lord, what is it that I'm missing around a very specific thing that I've been praying for some time? What is it that I'm missing? And, you know, ultimately it stems from this. It stems from revelation, and it stems from the having the knowledge and the fullness thereof. Not just a piece of it, because see, what happens when you have just a piece of it, you forget. It's like tonight, you can have God speak a word tonight, you can write it down, get all excited. You know, it's like Proverbs 21:20. It's like, you know, a fool spends everything he has. You know, you can leave here tonight with a revelation. I'm going to go home, put $20 in the bank. I'm going to go home, move money over. I'm going to put $100 in savings. And then you go to the mailbox, and guess what? There's another bill. There's something else that just came in the mail. Well, I can't do it this month. No, you've got to determine. You guys see what I'm saying? You've got to determine that this revelation is greater than that bill. This revelation or the knowledge of this is so much further in my life than me getting stuck with just one little thing. I hope somebody's getting something tonight, because I tell you, this is like... This is because, see, God cares so much about His church, and He wants His church equipped. He wants His people to be ready. When the enemy comes, we just pull out our sword. Nope, not happening today. I'm not being discouraged today, because you know what? You're under my feet. That's what He's pointing out. He's pointing out to the saints in Ephesus. The enemy's under you. Have the revelation and knowledge of what Christ has done for you. It's not just about salvation. It's that you gain the fullness thereof. You have that power flowing out of your life. Amen. Man, it's, isn't that cool? Anybody with me? It's great. It's great to have that. It's great to know that. And guys, listen, I tell you tonight, please, we're all in this somewhere. This isn't any of us. Not this is everybody in here. We're all in a place where we're working at this thing. Pastor Brad and Pastor Brandon have it all figured out? No. No, I'm seeking greater revelation and greater knowledge also. From glory to glory, from faith to faith. Amen. That's what we're doing. We're doing it together. Amen. Are some going to be higher? Yeah. Some going to be lower? Yeah. But you know what? We're
right here. We've got a hold of one another
and say, come on, you know, we're coming up higher. That's what the body, that's why he said, I've gave some to be apostles, some pastors, some teachers, some evangelists. That's why I give these people to the church to equip and build up the church. What a revelation. The more I think about it, the more I preach it, the more revelation. It hits me here. It hits me here. That's why you study. What Pastor Miranda said, last week, it's like, you know, if you have something that's transpiring in your life, maybe it's an attack of some sort, go to the Word of God as your source and say, okay, the Word says that you know, I don't have to possess this. I don't have to have this. Or that I can think differently around a situation. I'm telling you, you got to understand that you can control your thoughts. People think, you know, I just... The problem of it is flesh. That's the other side I'm not talking about tonight. It's just, you know, you're either going to give your spirit. Your spirit knows. Your spirit communicates with God. You're either going to give in to one of two things. You're going to give in to your soul, which your soul realm is your mind. You change your mind. You can change your thinking. Man, if I had the same thinking that I had 25 years, I'd be broke. I'd be divorced. I'd be an alcoholic, guaranteed. I'd probably be smoking a lot of dope, too. Get an amen. No, I'm joking. But see, what happened was I renewed my mind. It's the process. It's happening. Amen. How does that happen? Through the revelation of God's word, through the preaching of the word, through being in services, through conviction, through the deposit of a word. I'm telling you, I believe tonight you'll leave here tonight with a word from God. Leave here tonight, say, you know, guys, listen, if you come to church and feel like every time you're getting whipped and you're getting beat down, that's not what church is about. That's not what this, we're not here to beat people down, we're here to bring people up. So, you know, and I think sometimes people think, well, you know, you're preaching hard, you know, he's preaching, stepping on my toes. Goodness gracious, I've had messages of love step all over me. Just quoting Corinthians, you know, love is patient. Well, Jesus, help me. Love is patient. I'm not very patient. You know, you can't measure the word that way. You measure the, no, I'm coming up higher. I'm getting this revelation. I'm getting greater understanding of this in Jesus' mighty name. Put all things under his feet, and he gave him, comma, and he gave him to be head over all things to the church, comma, the church, us, which is his body. We belong to him. Get it out of your head that you belong to yourself. You'll win a lot of battles when you get it out of your head that this thing's about you. It's not about you. Once you say yes to him, it's about him. It's not about you. It's not about, you know, I got to be careful. We all have feelings. I have feelings. But I have to check my feelings with the Word. Does my feelings line up with the Word of God? As a pastor, I should do that, right? But I'm wrong if I don't tell you as the congregation people. You've got to check. Your feelings got to be in line with the Word of God. You know, love your neighbor as you love yourself. Boy, that's rich. Is that hard at times? We all would say yes, right? I want to love my neighbor. My neighbor ticked me off yesterday. How do you make things right? You go get things right with your neighbor. That's godly. It's not, you know, it's, You know, the wisdom of the world is going to say, you know, build a fence. Throw eggs at his car during Halloween. Go knock on his door and run. You know, do whatever you can do to cause your neighbor problems. You know, get them out. You know, listen, if you got to pray a bad neighbor out, that's different. You can pray people out. You can pray people away. I'm smiling. You can pray a neighbor down the road somewhere else. Amen. Amanda, quit. I should have never mentioned your name, should I? All things are under his feet. And I love this. All things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. He fills us. I'm waiting around for Minister Lee Howe to fill me up. You know, I need, you know, just that a boy, you know, just pat me on the back. Oh, if I'm just waiting to be filled up by others. If I'm just waiting, you know, listen. Kings is encouraging. This is an encouraging bunch of group of people. That's culture. That's church culture. We're not leaving that. You know, do we deal with stuff? Yeah, we do. But we remain encouraging because, you know, it's why are we going to sit around and worry and fuss about what happened a year ago? You know what people want? You know, people as a pastor, they'll want to pull you into stuff. You know, you pray. Get things right in your heart. Because if you do that, you'll be right with your brother and sister in Christ. Just get it right in your heart. Yeah. See, the thing of it is, I just don't feel like it. Well, then don't. You know, the thing about it is people don't realize you have choices to make. But to be right with God, I'm telling you, that everything lines up. That's why, like I said, you know, even when I get upset or mad, usually when I'm driving, you know, I got cut off the other day, and I didn't say anything bad. I went, that's all, you know, and I was like, you know, no, I that's that attitude that I used to get. And so I checked that attitude. I wasn't, like, cussing under my breath or anything. It was just my attitude, and I'm just like, you know, and I thought, you know, my wife would look at me and say, how many people have you cut off? That's what I would say. So you know, it's get it right. Get it right and be right with God. Let's jump into Ephesians 2. There's a lot there. And, you know, even just... There's one thing that you see in Ephesians 1, though, even as Paul's praying. You have the ability to gain the revelation, the knowledge of the Word of God for yourself, for your situation, for your circumstance. Good and whatever. If it's a struggle, if it's a bad, you can gain the revelation and knowledge. You're not stuck. Okay? I mean, are you in a place where you have to continue moving and growing and stuff? Yeah, absolutely. That's a Christian faith. That's a Christian walk. You know, and a lot of times, I mean, you know, I watch people sometimes make statements that, you know, it's like, back up. You know, people think that when somebody gets saved, they should be just a perfect image of Jesus Christ. You know, did you say anything stupid when you first got saved? I did. 28 years later, I could say something stupid, to, you know, not tonight, amen, but you can say, you know what I mean? So you can say things that are stupid. Seek forgiveness, repent, go on with life. Don't get trapped. That's the bait. That's the enemy. That's what the enemy. That's the whole thing. And I tell you, that's the whole thing with that series about strongholds in the mind. Because see, that's where the enemy just wants you to be offended, be hurt, be disgusted, be what? That's what the enemy wants. But I'm not going to be. I have the revelation enough. I don't have to be. Amen. I don't have to be because of what he's done for me. The enemy's under my feet. I have revelation of that. Does it mean that I won't get hurt? No, it doesn't mean that. I think sometimes we think, well, you know, you're not going to be, you just won't get hurt. No, you people will say, you know, I mean, I had somebody last week, you know, say something. I was like, man, you know, it's kind of hurt a little bit, but it's like, but Jesus, but God. That's what I say, but God, you know, because he's going to help me with this. Amen. But God. Ephesians 2. I'm going to jump into this. Do you have anything you want to say out of that? You do, don't you? I can tell you're just sitting there and just biting to say something. Come up here if you have something you want to share. I just give the mic to you and sit down for the rest of the night. It's hot up here. I'm going to tell you that right now. It's like I...
I think when you're talking about the understanding of the difference between revelation, knowledge, and understanding, it's so important to get what those things are, because they're not all the same thing. And like when Pastor Brad said, you know, the you might know something, like you can know the Word of God. In fact, many of you have probably talked with people before that knew or could quote the Word of God, but you could tell they didn't have a revelation of it, or they didn't get the concept of it because they didn't live it out. Like they could quote maybe all kinds of scripture about love, but they don't act in a loving way, or their life doesn't display love. It's like, yeah, love is patient, love is kind, it doesn't, but you don't see it necessarily coming out of their heart. And so there's a difference between the knowledge of something, you can know something, but then the understanding, you have to, that's why I stress about meditation. Meditation is when you take something, then you got to begin to dig in. You've got to meditate upon it. You've got to then begin to almost dissect the Word of God to really understand what's going on there. What does God want to receive, or want me to receive from this? Because something can kind of hit you in your spirit and you'd be like, okay, I received that, but it hasn't made it to your mental faculties yet. Like you could even receive something in your spirit, you get excited about it, but you can't explain it. You could walk out and not even explain it, but you felt something in your spirit. And it's all because these are all different capacities of being able to receive something in its fullness. So to know something just means that you might have read it or heard it, and you know you could quote it maybe, you could repeat it maybe, but it doesn't mean that it necessarily has taken root. So to understand something means that you can begin to explain it and understand the why behind it. So if you take forgiveness, for example, since you were kind of touching on that, you know, we understand that the Bible says that we're to forgive because God forgave us. It means I gotta forgive so-and-so. Well, I guess I better do it, because that's totally by the letter of the law. You understand what I'm saying? I'm totally responding to the letter of the law, but not because it's hit me in my spirit, not because I'm doing it out of understanding. But if I begin to read the Word of God and dig in and try to find out more about forgiveness and understand the depth of it, then I begin to understand that the reason God wants me to forgive is it's a protection for me. Because it keeps the poison out of my heart and out of my life. So then I begin to realize, like, oh, God's actually protecting me from the bait of the enemy, dragging me into a seed of bitterness and a seed of offense that can actually derail my whole Christian walk. Once I understand that, then I'm walking in a different kind of light. That's when it begins to have revelation in our heart. So revelation can happen somewhere in that realm of knowledge and understanding. So somewhere in there, it's like, aha, it's like it makes sense. The light bulb comes on. And then it's like, I get it. It's like, rather than just knowing that there's something under that blanket, now the blanket's been pulled off and I can see exactly what it is. I can begin to describe, oh, that's, you know, such and such, and it's this big and it's this color, and I can begin to tell exactly what's under that veil. So that revelation is what we need to really be able to walk in the fullness of something, in the spirit of it and not in the law of it. Does that make sense? Are you following? Okay, so then from that point, you have wisdom. Wisdom is the application of the knowledge that you've received. So wisdom is not just a smart guy sitting on a hill quoting all these proverbs. Wisdom is when you apply what you know. So when you begin to walk out what you've received, that I know that this is the right thing to do, and I know it's for my protection, and I know it's to bring the blessing of God on my life. So I'm going to walk this out in the Spirit, and I'm what I'm doing is when I begin to apply it, I'm utilizing wisdom. So now it's evident to others that's a wise person. Because I can see on their life how it's different. I can see that they're taking the knowledge they have and the understanding they have and beginning to utilize it in life situations. So you can know lots of things but never actually apply any of it. You can repeat a lot of things, but if you don't apply it in life, then you may not be walking in wisdom. You may know a lot of things, but that doesn't mean you're wise. See, there's a difference between having a lot of knowledge and actually having wisdom. Because wisdom walks out what they know and understand. Does that make sense? I'll stop there.
That's good. That's good. You feel like you're losing people?
Me?
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
That's just one topic. If you want to go on to something else, we can talk about that too.
No. Let's look at chapter 2. Let's look there. We made it out of Ephesians 1. Amen. That's good. Knowing, understanding, wisdom. I mean, it's like what I like that because just wisdom's not some gray-haired guy sitting over there, you know, I think we get that definition of that guy must be wise, right? He's Gandalf, right? He's gray beard, you know. Anyway, Zephon would say amen to that, but that's good. Ephesians 2. You know, I just as we start Ephesians 2, I want you to think about this in Ephesians 2, past, present, and future. You know, even when you're in Ephesians 2, you'll see what Paul's talking about, what Paul's referring to a lot is who you were, who you are now, and where you're headed. And so you'll see that that's really a central theme around Ephesians chapter 2. Past, present, and future. It starts off in Ephesians 2, and it says, "And you he made alive." I'm alive. I'm alive. Let me give you a few scripture references out of just that. You can jot these down. I know some of you guys are taking notes. 1 Corinthians 15:22. It says, "For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive." So we're made alive in him. Amen. It's you're made alive. You become alive in him. You become alive in him. Romans 5:18, it says, "Therefore, as one trespass leads to condemnation for all men, so one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men." There it is again. He's life. Colossians 3:3, it says, "For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God." Romans 8:1, many of you know this. "There is therefore no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus." You're made alive in him. I mean, you are alive. So as a believer, know that. I'm alive in him. I'm not talking about, you know, a struggle in him. I'm not talking about struggles. I'm made alive. You connect to that. I'm alive. Amen. When you become born again, your spirit become alive. I'm alive. I'm alive. So you're made alive in Christ. You're made in the image of him. Maybe I should go there. Let me keep running through here a little bit. "And you he made alive, who were dead in trespass and sin, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom all also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and that of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath." So, you know, what Paul is saying, look, this is who you were, okay? This isn't who you are now. Sons of disobedience. Now, can I explain something? You know, like people in America, well, you know, God loves everybody. You know, you hear that, right? God loves everybody, but you know, but please understand something here: that outside of Christ, you're considered a son of disobedience. Outside of him, you actually, there's wrath. There's judgment outside of him. And nobody wants to be called a son of disobedience or a daughter of disobedience, right?
So he still loves them.
Correct. I wasn't done.
Yeah. I just wanted to clarify that because that could come across like really.
Does that sound hard? No. God loves. He loves humanity. That's why he sent his son. He loves all people. There's no partiality in God. So God loves. Amen. God loves you. He loves me. Does God love sinners? Yes, he loves sinners. He sent his son Jesus Christ to die for sinners. So we understand that God is love and God does love. Amen. It's a good point. But you know what Paul's pointing out here was that this is the old you. You were a son or daughter of disobedience. You were dead in trespass and in sin. You once walked according to how you wanted to walk. Guys, can I tell you that this is important to note? We don't walk according to how we deem we should walk. We don't walk according to the way the world walks. Why do you think friends have a hard time with you when you had? I mean, I can say this because I dealt with it. Why do you think friends when you made a decision to start going to church? And you stepped over into that realm and you started, I'm a Christian and I'm a believer. Why did your friends have a hard time with that? It's because, you're now shining light back into them, but the world doesn't like that. And you're being pulled out. So it's like you're no longer being viewed as a son or daughter of disobedience. You're no longer being, it's no longer on you. And so the world is always trying to, when you say yes to Christ, the world's always going to send somebody, going to call you up. I've had friends call me. This year, it's funny, I've had friends call me that I haven't talked to in 20 years. You still in the wagon? Yep, still in the wagon. What do you do now? I'm still preaching. Last time you talked to me 10 years ago, I'm still, you still in church? Oh, wow. The world will always want to throw and twist something around there. But you're not that anymore. So, past. Paul's pointing out, he said, this used to be you, but this isn't you anymore. I said it last week. The new has come. You're not the same. You're a new creature in Christ Jesus. So don't run back. Don't ever be quick to, I used to like to do this thing. Don't think that way. Don't allow the enemy to position himself and gain any kind of a foothold. Man, it's okay. I'll go out of town and do that. Nobody'll know. I'll go to the bar up, Morgantown. Nobody will know. You guys catching? You're running with me, right? Who were once dead in trespass and sin, which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of power of the air, the spirit which is now works in the sons of disobedience. Let me drop down to some of my notes. In verses 1 through 3, I didn't make this note because as I thought about and was meditating on this, it's probably the one thing that people will struggle with when they first get saved is accountability. How do I become accountable to the Word? How do I live up to the standard of God's Word? Everybody say grace. See, that's the revelation. That's the revelation. It's the grace of God. You have to wrap yourself around the grace of God. We all once were sinners. The Bible says that, right? So we all. But please hear me tonight, because a lot of people, because over the years I've heard many people, you're just always going to be sinning, always going to be. Sin. The only way you can, I had a preacher tell me one time, the only way you live above sin is that you live above a bar, and it's just like that stuff's silly, No. You don't have to keep sinning. You don't have to keep, you can kick that stuff out of your life. Because see, that's a lie. That's a lie that Christians will buy. Guys, I'm looking at people. You're not doing the same things you were doing, that you were doing a year ago, 2, 3, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago. You're not doing the same stuff. You're not doing the same stuff. Let's look at verse 4. I'll probably come back into this next week. It says, I want to finish up with this. And I love this. Ephesians 2, 4 through 7. It says, but God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loves us, even when we were dead in trespass, what did he do again? Even right here, look at it again. He made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us set together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the age to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards those, towards us who are in Christ Jesus. You know, but God, but God, who is rich in mercy, but God. So, guys, where does my help come from? It comes from him. God is my source. You know, please hear, you know, I'm thankful that God gives us people. You know, today, Miranda and I just, you know, chewing on the word, going back and forth. I'm thankful for that. I like that, you know. Pastor Aaron called, you know, just chewing on some things, some topics around certain things. I like that. Iron sharpens iron. You need things like that in your life. But God, turn your attentions on him. If you lack revelation or you lack knowledge and or wisdom, you know, it goes back to what Pastor Miranda said. You know, you can have knowledge, but the wisdom is learning how to apply that. You can read something in the Word and be like, oh, that's good. You can hear something in the Word preached, you know, oh, that's good. Good for them. I mean, that's what you have to guard against. You have to guard against, because, see, there's where pride can come in. There's where ignorance can even come in. I've been ignorant around things. I've been very ignorant around things. I've been very ignorant about things in the Word of God. But God. God's quickened me. He's quickened my mouth. He's quickened me to shut up. Don't say that. That's from the Holy Spirit. You know? That's what the Holy Spirit will do. But God. You know, so he's there to help. So that you can gain. Not just to know it, but to apply it. Apply the wisdom of God. Listen, if you're lacking something in your life, what are you doing to pursue it? What are you doing? What are you doing to tap into it? Can I tell you? You know, listen. You can get answers in church. God can drop something in your spirit tonight. Boom. I know that. But if he puts something in your spirit tonight to go home and look it up and study it or do something with it. Do something with it, so that you gain the knowledge, you gain the wisdom. Why is this important? It's not just for you. That's the other side of it, right? Because once you gain the understanding, once you gain the revelation, once you gain the knowledge, you then in return can help somebody else out. Amen? That's what he's doing with us. Amen? He's using us to help others out. So, I don't know. I didn't get too far with this, and I'll jump into it next week. But anything you want to say in closing? I mean, there's a lot to jump into just even through the first part of that. But
I think even just as you're reading through Ephesians 1 towards the end of that, and he's saying, you know, the part that we just read through, the 15 through the rest of chapter 1, what Paul's really trying to give here before he goes into chapter 2 is this contrast and this comparison, really, of who you used to be, but who you are now. And in order to really grasp the understanding of who you are now, you have to understand who Christ is. You have to understand his position, that he is seated in heavenly places, that he is the head of the church, which is the body of Christ. And if you are the body of Christ, then has anybody ever seen a head disconnected from a body and the body is in operation? No, not except for a chicken, unless you've seen a chicken's head cut off and the body is running around the yard. That's a thing. But in reality, like, people, the head disconnected from the body is a malfunction. But when the head is connected to the body and the body is receiving instructions from where? The mind, right? The head. Christ is the mind. He's the head of the church. So how is he going to get things done on earth? Through the body. So when we understand that, if we think that, oh, I'm just nothing, I'm not anything, I'm just going to sit here and pray that Jesus does everything, then you're missing the revelation of what Paul's trying to show you here. So he's saying, if Jesus Christ is seated in heavenly places, he is the head of the church. The body needs to be in action, because in verse 10 of chapter 2, for you are his workmanship, you are a masterpiece created for what? For good works. That's what you're created to do. And so Paul's trying to say, you used to be this, and in order to understand this over here, you've got to have this revelation. So I pray that for the spirit of revelation and wisdom to come upon you, and that the understanding of your eyes will come open, so that you will know who Christ Jesus is, that you know his position, that you know his power, and that you understand your position is in him, and that through these things we operate together, Christ is the head and the body at work, and through that, then that's how we do things on earth. That's how we get things done. That's how the mission of God happens. But we have to have that revelation. If not, then we'll just sit on our bums and think that God's just gonna do it all. Just gotta pray and God's gonna do it, and I'm just gonna stay in my prayer closet all the time. Like, pray, yes, that's the supernatural, but then he's gonna commission you, and he's gonna tell you to get up and do something about it. Sorry, that was a hard way to end. God loves you. Praise the Lord.
But God,
and he's got great things for you in Jesus' name.
Everybody start praying in tongues now, Pastor Miranda. Come on, Miranda, give us something encouraging. Give us something encouraging before we close. God loves you. Yeah. I really just grab some pieces of this, even tonight. Like, if leaving here and just seek the Lord. Seek the Lord over whatever it might be. Seek the Lord and okay, Lord, give me revelation. Give me the knowledge, right? The knowledge. He'll show you that. He'll give you that in his word. You know how easy it is to obtain knowledge now? It's so easy. People think it's so difficult to obtain knowledge. Google, you go fetch whatever search engines you might use. You can type in anything, and then, I use scripture references a lot, commentary that I read. I just type in, prayer around this. You can pull down a lot of scriptures, and then it's okay to go on a rabbit trail. Carve off 45 minutes an hour. Go on a rabbit trail and study it out for yourself, and then make notes. People don't, The more we gain, the more understanding we gain, man, it's the more we advance his kingdom, amen? That we don't want to just be, we come to church on Sunday and Wednesday and we go home. And no, we want to grow in the things of God, amen? God wants us to grow, amen? He wants us to grow. So do something with it, amen? Take a piece of it, run with it, pray about it. Then the other side of it is do. Is due. It's like the whole savings thing for me. I had to do something about it. God told me what to do. But if I never moved in that area and I begin to save, I guarantee you if I would have never started 25 years ago savings, there's no way I would have a savings account now. And my wife and I would have been in conflict. And ultimately spiritually, if we're in conflict around savings, I win. She doesn't win. I'm the spiritual headship. She'll fall under me. If I make the decision, no, we're going to spend. That's where it stops. We're not that way. We learned how to work through. And the day I came home from Tennessee, I was like, we've got to fix some stuff. There's things that welled up in me. Now, I've got to fix things. I've got to do things. I've got to make, does anybody think that way? I do. I think that way. I'm coming up higher so that I can be a blessing to others. So go after this stuff. Man, it's the thing that I tell you tonight, he's not wanting to keep anything from you. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Let's go ahead and stand. Be focused. Be focused. Get focused. Get focused. Don't be trying to pull down. Don't be trying to run with 25 ideas. Don't run with one. Get focused on one thing, maybe two. Don't allow your mind to be all over the place. It'll. You know, from experience, I'm speaking from experience. It's hard to win when you get double-minded. The Bible says a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. Don't be double-minded. Be single-minded. Be focused. So important. So important. Praise God. God loves you. God loves you. Let's go ahead and pray tonight. Father, just lift your